Welcome on in hour two. Seth Dunlap, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and studio producer Mark Menard. We've got a lot coming your way this hour. Sound from JT Barrett. Also, Christian and Deuce, a couple of interviews, one with Arthur Millett and another with Demario Davis, the expected starting linebacker for the Saints here. But Bobby, when somebody asked you, somebody from this newer generation, a millennial, maybe Gen Z, Bobby, I want to know the T on something. You know what the T is?
On JT?
No, just the T. If I say, Bobby, I want you to give me the T. You know what that means?
I don't know. I know T, Bob. like PT.
Mark, do you know the T? If I say, Mark, give me the T on the quarterback
like
situation.
The down low, you mean?
It means, Mark, let's see if Mark knows it here. You know this?
I mean, like the details? The deets?
Kind of. Well, the T, it's short for truth, right? I want the T. So, Bobby, if I say, Bobby, I want the T on the quarterback situation, that's what I mean. I want the truth on the quarterback situation. So, this segment, I want you to give us the T on the quarterback situation here, being the ex-signal caller that you are, because I got to be honest, I have some very strong feelings on this, and it kind of sounds like, not to put words in anybody's mouths here, but the local media is kind of coming around to a similar opinion that Taysom Hill not ready yet to backup quarterback to Drew Brees. I think he's going to make the roster. In fact, I'd put money that he makes the roster because he's just too good on special teams right now. But, Bobby, I do not think that he is ready to be the primary backup to Drew. So I want to know, what's the T here on this quarterback situation?
Well, the T is for Tom Savage. No, he's not even on Tom Savage's level. He's not accurate enough. You know why things haven't become second nature to him now? You know what's going to happen? We're going to play Jacksonville some preseason game. And you have to, this does count, how you can make plays with your feet. And he'll run for 40 yards, but it'll be kind of undisciplined. Like, whoa, did you see that play? That's pretty impressive. But when you looking at, okay, can you do this for a month and a half, 2 months? Like, all of a sudden, you're the man, and they get film on you. You better about to make plays in the pocket, know where to go with the ball. And I'm just watching. Listen, think about this. Taysom Hill and JT Barrett had an opportunity to get off to a great start ahead of Tom Savage. I heard Tom Savage had a sickness, I don't know, 24-hour bug, whatever it is.
Yeah, 2 days he was out, I believe.
Yeah, yes, he was out 2 days. So, you know, especially with these conditions, you don't want to be dehydrated and all of a sudden you have a heat stroke or something. But anyway, they had an opportunity to have a two-practice head start, which did not occur, and mainly because of accuracy. The bottom line.
Highly inaccurate. I'm just highly inaccurate. He is. And that goes back to his college days, Bobby.
If you watching and you don't know who nobody is, and you just like looking, okay, when they throw the ball, where's the ball placement and all that? Tom Savage, no, come on. He's not. If Drew Brees gets hurt, no, I'm telling you, we're in trouble. But if it's a game or whatever, I don't think Tom Savage is necessarily better than Ryan Griffin from Tulane, who we let go now with Tampa Bay is competing with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, there's some now. It's interesting you brought that up because there's some people that have told me on my program, hey, Ryan Griffin might surprisingly wind up with that starter job.
And playing against the Saints.
Yeah, in week one. But here's so I did a whole show really on this quarterback situation towards the end of last week, Bobby, and I'm starting to think that the Saints have a roster in place, so much talent and depth everywhere else on the roster that, God forbid here, the unthinkable happens and Drew gets hurt,
right,
that if they have a capable starter in place, they can still be competitive, much like Philadelphia was last year without Carson Wentz.
Oh, slow your road there, Seth. I don't know. When Carson Wentz got hurt, Nick Foles had started a number of games. If you have to remember, I don't know if this is the NFL record. I know I'm going to butcher the numbers. Did he have like 26 touchdowns and two picks?
Oh, Foles? Was it 28 and 2 or something?
Yeah. And the Saints beat him in the playoffs because he's not throwing a pick. He would get sacked. I'm just saying.
That's my point, though.
Okay.
Foles is a capable quarterback.
Yeah,
There's no Foles on this roster.
No, right.
So
exactly.
To our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll, one of the options we have on who is going to be the backup quarterback to the Saints here, to Drew Brees, do you think they look outside a house when it's all said and done here?
They might have to. listen, look how we brought Taysom Hill on board all of a sudden because he had an impressive preseason with the Packers. Now, obviously, he can, you know, we all know what he did on special teams. But, yeah, it's not a done deal. I mean, they don't have anything invested in Tom Savage. God, I think I got to look at my notes. I got it somewhere where we actually guaranteed him, which is nothing by NFL standards.
Wasn't it like 250?
Yeah, I mean, Seth, it's not a commitment. So it's not a commitment. I mean, to say backup, and you're trying to worry about your starters, but, I mean, with Luke McCown, when he was in West Virginia, we had training camp there.
100,000 guaranteed, by the way, okay, not 250. Yeah, 100,000 guaranteed this year.
That's nothing, Seth. That's like me giving you 10 bucks or whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's something, but NFL standards, it's no commitment. But, like, let's say we had training camp in the Greenbrier. The quarterbacks I've seen right now, they're not on Luke McCown's level. Now, Luke McCown gets older.
But he remember, he came in, and I know he lost that game to Tampa Bay.
Was it Carolina? Yeah, and he threw like 300 games. Yards. Right. No, yeah.
He obviously was a guy who knew the system, and he could, seamless transition there. And nobody's going to be Drew, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because you might need that guy eventually, whether it be for, I don't want to say, at most you'd hope it wouldn't be more than a month or a couple of games. But I don't know if that guy's on the roster. All I know is right now, Tom Savage would give you a better chance to win if he had to be the guy over Taysom Hill. You might say, well, what are you talking about? He wasn't even the quarterback for the Texans. No, he was the starter. And then they went with Deshaun Watson. And what he started, like 13 games? I want to say
he wasn't good. I will say he wasn't good.
No, he wasn't good. But, I mean, he still started a real game. And then you go by practice, he's just more accurate. I'm not saying he's the answer. But to say Taysom Hill has beaten them out, I haven't seen that.
There was one point last year in the NFL when about a third of the day one, the opening week starting quarterbacks were out for injury, suspension, whatever it is. It's one of those positions you just got to prepare for a contingency here. And look, I know that Sean Payton's a great developer of quarterbacks, although, well, maybe you could argue that considering he has Drew, who he developed behind him. But if you look at teams like a couple of years ago in New England, they had Jimmy Garoppolo, and then they had Jacoby Brissett come in and win a couple of games. You look last year with Philadelphia. My point is here, you never want to think about these scenarios, these disaster scenarios where Drew gets hurt or whoever your starting quarterback gets hurt, but it happens in the NFL. The most prepared teams, Bobby, to me, have at least somebody in place who can keep things afloat for 2, 3, 4 weeks.
If Drew Brees gets hurt for an extended period, sell your tickets. Oh, now the Saints are going to be ticked off. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm being a realist here. It's not going to be a special season. And you never want to say that. But no, that's how much Drew Brees means to this team and his value.
What's a better example here? Maybe not a better example, but another example. Last year with the Packers, you had Aaron Rodgers go out for, was it, 6, 7 weeks?
And what did Hundley they win? They went,
yeah, Hundley, no, was, no, no. Hundley was the Hill of that team.
Yeah.
A guy who the coach said, well, he's a developmental project.
We've seen him play against the Saints.
Right, yeah, you know, but he could be good in the long run. Didn't work out very well. You turn back the clock a few years before that when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Who came in for him? But he kept the ship afloat, and they ended up making it into the playoffs, and I think that was the year they made the NFC title game, wasn't it, against Seattle? If you keep, as long as you have a guy, the number two on the roster, who is capable of winning you football games, it can't happen in its own shell, its own bubble. You've got to have the roster place around. You look at this roster, and this is why I started bringing this up, Bobby. You look at every position on this roster right now, except maybe tight end. They are deep. They are talented. Right. It really is almost anybody in the league.
Well, it'd be like all of a sudden the Cardinals decided to go with Josh Rosen. Let's bring in Sam Bradford.
Right.
I mean, this is what I think. I don't think, because he hasn't done it. Sean Payton has not proven to me that he can develop young quarterbacks. What do you mean by that? Now, with that being said, you give me a proven NFL quarterback, I think Sean Payton will take him to the next level. You've heard me say that, Seth. I said like a Matthew Stafford now. I'm just going to tell you who I think could play even better what they've played so far in their career. Kirk Cousins. Alex Smith. I could probably name, like, Russell Wilson. No, you don't want to hear that. Like, if Russell Wilson left Seattle, I think in a Saints uniform,
well, I agree with
be
you
even better. So I look at, like, a half a dozen guys. That's why I say the replacement for Drew Brees is not even here, and not necessarily it's coming out of college, Nick Foles or whatever it might be. But that next guy, I think Sean Payton, could take them to a different level of achievement, what they've already achieved in the NFL, where I'm not saying a Hall of Famer, but maybe a Pro Bowler or something, because they know what it takes to win in the NFL. But right now, put it this way, last season, because Chase Daniel knew the offense had been there, but I think Chase Daniel kind of took a step back last year compared to when he was previously here. Probably the last time I've been more confident in a backup to Drew was Luke McCown.
Yeah.
That if he could play, has to play 2 or 3 weeks, I think he can get it done. But right now, I've said Drew can't miss one game.
No, man, the Packers season that we were looking at was 2012. Text from the 504. Was it to the guy from LSU, Matt Flynn? I didn't actually think it was Flynn, but I just looked it up. It was Matt Flynn. So Matt Flynn, a few starts. They also had Seneca Wallace, who was a previous starter in the league on that team, getting one start and getting a victory. So that's just the difference here, right? Those teams have that luxury of having that veteran guy.
And you look at Matt Flynn, set a Packer record. I want to see he had 6 touchdowns in a game, and he parlayed that. And
to a zero start performance in Seattle. They gave him that big contract, remember?
Yeah, he got beat
that
up
was Russell Wilson.
Yeah. But if you look at as far as per snap getting beat up, Matt Flynn hit the lottery.
Yeah.
What? Chase Daniel hit the lottery. Considering what they've made, how many times they're getting hit, I'm not hating, but it's just the truth. It just – the way the market is, because there's not enough quarterbacks to go around. But, no, listen, whatever it takes, that's why I say less of Drew is more. Whether Mark Ingram's there or not, you still got to run the ball.
And you risk getting him hit less as well.
Yes, not throwing 35, 40 times, more to 25 to 30. And let him be productive that way.
We'll take a break here. One of the quarterbacks on the roster, not a lot of people think he'll make the opening day roster, maybe a practice squad guy, although he'll get some chances in the preseason, is JT Barrett, the rookie, the former quarterback from Ohio State University, broke all of Drew Brees' records. Well, JT Barrett, he was at the podium today. We will hear from him coming back. It's a special edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. Bobby Hebert, Seth Dunlap, and Mark Menard back after this. Seth Dunlap, Bobby Hebert here. Bobby, I'm going to throw a name at you. Somebody that might be available in a few weeks once cutdowns come in camp. What about Mike Glennon, who's playing for the Arizona Cardinals right now? You've got Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen there. Those two guys almost certainly will make the roster. I can't see Glennon making that roster. What about him?
Well, my understanding in the past, the Saints wanted to draft him. Big guy. I said he's tall like you.
6'6"?
Yeah. A tall guy. North Carolina State, went to Tampa Bay. He got a nice contract with the Bears, and now the quarterback position right now, not on the Drew Brees level, but that's not a problem as far as the competition. Sam Bradford, Rosen, Mike Glennon. Yeah, that would be a guy to me. If Mike Glennon was in this camp, he beats out all the quarterbacks behind Drew.
Yeah, and that's why we're talking about it here. We're not just spitballing on the wall, but from what we've seen, the quarterback play, other than Drew Brees, has left a little to be desired. I know it's just a few days into camp, but that's what we're seeing so far. These guys will certainly have a chance to impress as camp goes on. The rookie quarterback on this roster, JT Barrett, just being honest, hasn't had a lot of great moments here. He's still learning on the job. But JT Barrett, he walked up to the podium, spoke to the media after practice today. And by the way, after that quarterback challenge, they were throwing some stuff at some snowballs. I think Drew actually lost today. I'll have to check on that.
Oh, he's probably real big.
Yeah, he probably was. Here's JT Barrett. That was JT Barrett, Saints quarterback, today after practice. Welcome back. It's Seth Dunlap, Bobby Hebert here. And JT, he hasn't been impressive, but with rookie guys, guys that are likely just kind of trying to get on the practice squad, Bobby, I'm a little less judgmental, to use that word, of them. This is
right.
This is a kid who's going to take a couple years to develop into an NFL type of quarterback.
Well, and I think he would have the potential to be the type of quarterback to extend plays, not a pure pocket passer. What I mean by that, And it's not necessarily I'm a gamer and I maybe don't excel in practice, because you have to be able to do both if you're going to last a number of years. Now, the one positive, he didn't have an interception this practice. You know, and you have to look at it.
It's the first time, right?
Yes, and I brought this up to Sean Payton, because that's why I think whether it's Tom Savage, Taysom Hill, I don't know about JT, but JT Barrett, but they'll have opportunities to go with the first line. Because right now, what I've noticed, the first offensive line, and I'm not, and then you look at the whole second line or the third line, they've left a lot on the table to be desired as far as protection. So it does influence how the quarterback plays. So you're going to see reps coming up this week in practice, whether it's Taysom Hill or whether Tom Savage. All of a sudden, they're going to say, Drew, just, okay, we know, you know, go over there. And then they're going to have those guys running reps at the first line. Now that's when you got to take advantage of the opportunity and not screw up.
There's Bobby Hebert, the T on the Saints quarterback situation. False start, 55 on the offense. It's my old number. You know, we're talking football here, but just really quickly. Look,
wait, hold on. 55. That's
center.
Like a center number.
I was a center.
For basketball, though, right?
Well, both, actually. I was a center and an offensive line. Yeah, I mean, not very long. I had one year in high school.
But I'm saying center. Yeah. Wouldn't you see more tight end or tackle? Your size. You're a big center.
Well, that's probably one of the reasons why I did not continue my football career.
Yeah,
and continued in baseball and basketball. Yes, I was going to get broken in half here. We are talking a lot of football. Just really quickly, though, my heart and thought goes out to everybody on the West Coast dealing with all those fires. You know, you're asking me. Did you guys deal with fires a long time ago when I grew up in the Pacific Northwest? Yeah. Scary, man. I mean, you know, fire tornadoes, you know, we're talking about. You see
right.
those on social media and
that
stuff.
That is vicious.
Scary. Scary. Here's an update on our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com. This is a tight vote. Actually, usually these votes are pretty lopsided. Not this one. Who's going to be the backup QB opening day for the Saints? Look at this. 29% say Taysom Hill. 24% say Tom Savage. 24% say JT Barrett, and also 24% say somebody not on the roster yet. You can cast your vote at WWL.com. We'll keep you updated on that. All right, let's switch to the defensive side of the football here in the secondary. You know a guy who stood out, and maybe at times at least, only because he's taken some wallops hits. Remember, he was the guy, Arthur Millett, we're talking about here,
right.
Leveled yesterday by Taysom Hill in special teams drills, Bobby. But the defensive coaches, and especially Dennis Allen and Aaron Glenn, they really like Arthur Millett here, second-year guy.
Well, and the thing is, if you're a local member of the Houdat Nation, I'm talking about right here in New Orleans, how can you not cheer for Arthur Millett? Talk about a feel-good story. Bonneville High School said, do you know that's the high school we beat before you were born in 1977?
You were telling me those stories. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bonneville High School. So I'm a Bonneville Bruin. I mean, that's right there. You pass by Bonneville High School, you know, going to the airport. You know, if you
on the right side there.
You see it right there. So Arthur Millett, I tell you what, he took advantage of opportunity at Memphis. I still want to say Memphis State, but at University of Memphis, but.
But when did that change? I remember it as Memphis State, too, and
yeah,
I remember when the change happened.
Yeah, I don't know. It just kind of happened. Okay, we're no longer the state. We're just University of Memphis. So
yeah.
It makes sense.
Like a little like Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, University of New Orleans, whatever it might be. You know, you represent the city, Pitt, you know, and whatever.
That's fine. Branding.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, the branding. But Arthur Millett is one of those guys that he'll never be a top two corner. He won't be. I'm not hating. I'm just telling you the truth. He's not going to be a top corner, but what he has to excel at, we all know this, the obvious thing. Okay, what are you doing on special teams? Okay, but can you potentially, when you look at roster spots, so to go from the practice squad and active roster, can you be that nickel?
Okay.
Can you be that, like, third, fourth corner where they can utilize you in coverage?
Here's what I really want to know. So tell me what it was like for him in the locker room when guys are talking about the hit that the quarterback – Taysom Hill just laid on him. Is he getting the business in the locker room there from everybody?
Man,
after that one?
When they look at a special teams film and they look like, man, man, what? The like now, Taysom Hill's a big dude.
He is.
Now, and I don't think he was going after Alton Millett. He's just trying to do his job.
No, they were talking afterwards. I don't want to make it sound like there's any bad blood there at all.
No, it didn't seem like there was. It was like, whoa, he got that. You know, the whole thing. It's not politically correct on ESPN. He got jacked up. It was like, whoa.
Yeah.
He got Whaley. That's why I still think Taysom Hill cannot make it, or could potentially not make it as an NFL quarterback. And played 10 years in the NFL, whether it's with the Saints somewhere else, just as a special teams ace.
And he could be the emergency. I'm with you. I think it's 100% chance he's on this roster. No doubt about it. I'm just not sure about it as a backup.
Well, Seth, his name slipped in my mind. The special teams guru. The one with the cane. He's walking
around. Westhoff.
Westhoff, yes. God, sorry, Coach Westhoff. Because he was a USFL like me with Arizona Outlaws and Doug Williams.
Yeah, Mike Westhoff.
So we talking old stories. He goes, nah, I mean, ain't no, that's my guy. You know, anybody could say, oh, discover and all that. I discovered him for special teams.
Well, he's right.
So I think, like you said, emergency quarterback, just think how you can utilize Taysom Hill as the up back, fake punts, fake field goals, because then you have truly a RPO, a run pass option, because he could throw well enough.
It's pretty exciting to think about.
It's third and fourth and eight. Man, we're going for it.
Yeah.
God, the defense kind of knew what we were doing. The pass not open, but he runs for the first down.
No joke. And look, I just remember that the Rams were never good during the Fisher years, but the one thing they did so well is every time that Johnny Hecker came out to punt, you always thought and knew there was a chance they were going to run a fake. And they did more than anybody in the NFL during those Fisher years. They were bad at everything else. Special teams, they were all world.
Just the threat of that, you know, when you're trying to set up a return, it makes you honor more. Like, let's say if you're the punt return team, we got to honor maybe stay at home because it might be a fake punt. So that helps your punt coverage.
I'll tell you, Mike.
To get down before they can set up the return.
Mike Westhoff and Banta, our Bradford Banta, the special teams guys and coaches, they're going to make their money this year. They're going to earn their money with those changes in the kickoff rules. Let's bring on in Christian Garrick and Deuce McAllister here. Earlier out at camp, we were talking about Arthur Millett. They had a chance to talk to Millett one-on-one. Here's that interview.
Arthur, thanks for giving us some time. And you had a pretty good day today.
Yes, sir. You know,
what's changed for you from year one to year two?
Just being more comfortable and just knowing what I'm good at and working on the things that I needed to fix in the off season. That's what was the best for me. I attacked the things that they told me that I needed to work on, and it helped me out a lot.
Tell me about that headband, Eat Greedy.
It's just something that I made up since I was in junior college. Coming from Mississippi Junior College, I didn't have a car. Thursdays, everybody was gone. I was the only guy there. It was a commute school, and the cafeteria would give me food for the weekend to eat. So I didn't have much to eat, and from there, I just attacked it, Eat Greedy, man. Whatever's on my plate, I'm going to eat it and finish it. And that's how I attack my stuff on the field.
Are y'all talking about that in the DB room?
Yeah, you know, that's the mentality, Eat Greedy, and also just being hungry and just having the want to be better and compete against these wide receivers and everybody and everything we do.
You talk about the jump from year one to year two. How is it picking up the route concepts or understanding down and distance what guys may try to do? You know, what are you doing in the film room to kind of help yourself as well there?
I mean, a lot, man. Just me really learning what AG is really talking about, man. He's been in the league 15-plus years, and it's like he's telling you keys, but as a rookie, I truly didn't understand it. But coming in this year, knowing the scheme, and not have to worry about the playbook and actually learn about the route combinations that he's telling me, it's wonders. It's crazy.
So now that allows you to play faster.
Yes, sir.
You know, a lot of times we say, okay, the defensive back, if he gets his hands on it, you know, it's 50-50 ball. How do you feel like if you get your hands on it, is that for sure a pick?
Yeah, it's a PBU or a pick, man. It's about that ball disruption like AG talks about. And you know what I'm saying? When you play fast, it's a PBU or a pick. If you play slow, it's a pass interference.
Sean Payton said the punt return job is up for grabs, wide open. You willing to do it?
Nah, I'm cool on that. It's the league, man. They got T. Lee and those specialists that's been doing it since they were in college, high school. You know what I'm saying? They can have it.
So, Arthur, you mainly just worry about covering punts.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to cover them punts. I'm going to go cover them kickoffs. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do punt return and get down the field. That's my job, and that's where I want to help this team at. And then if I can do more, I'm going to do it.
Arthur Millett here. What's it like playing, again, second year in New Orleans where you grew up?
I mean, it's a blessing, but it's more of a job now. I mean, I had the wows and the woes my first year as a rookie, but now it's just, you know, focusing on what I need to do to help this team.
What has Kurt Coleman meant to that DB room?
Man, he's an unbelievable veteran, man. He's going to push you to something that you don't want to expect. It's like he's going to push himself so it makes you want to be better, you know what I'm saying? It's not like he's telling you something that he's not doing, so that's what I love about him.
Physically, how do you feel as far as, you know, being able to say, hey, look, I can go out and play 60, 70 plays and not have any letdown on any play? How do you feel as far as physically is concerned?
I mean, I feel good. I mean, my mentality totally changed from last year. I mean, just, you know, I have to block the heat out and the reps that I do have and just keep going. And I have to have a high motor. You never know when your number's going to get called. So I'll be ready.
That was Arthur Mollett earlier today out at Saints camp with Christian Garrick, Deuce McAllister, and the Cajun Cannon, who's right here with me, Seth Dunlap. We'll take a break here on a special edition of Sports Talk. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about the defense. DeMario Davis, we'll hear from him, and we'll get to your phone calls. You can line those up at 504-260-1870. That's the phone number. 260-1870. You can text us at 870-870. Back after this on WWL. Welcome back. Seth Dunlap, Bobby Hebert alongside Mark Menard behind the glass as we recap what's happened so far the last few days out at Saints training camp. We'll hear from new Saints linebacker DeMario Davis in just a couple of minutes. But let's go to the phone lines. Let's bring in Jason. Jason, I got a question for you here. Look, I'm pretty familiar with the geography around here. I do not know where Moss Bluff is. Where's Moss Bluff? That's where you're calling
is that
from.
Any association with Moss Point? Or Jason, or help us out.
Moss Bluff is actually outside of Lake Charles, leading into Westlake.
Okay.
It's the Lake Charles metropolitan area, basically.
Oh, okay.
There you go, Moss Bluff. All right, Jason, you got a question for the Cajun Cannon?
Yeah, I actually got two questions. You know, I'm very optimistic about my Saints. You know, of course, the injuries have plagued us. You know, Pete, Ramchek, Armstead, you know, but we also went out in the draft and we got clapped from the LSU. You know, I'm kind of interested to see how Unger plays in that. Is he still going to be the center, or is he going to be like a veteran role?
Well, Jason, and it's not even close. Unger is, to me, for sure, top 10, probably top 5 or 6 center in the whole NFL. No, Max Unger, come on. Jason, I'm going to tell you this. Tell all your friends, Max Unger is a stud at center. He's the quarterback at offensive line. Even Zach Strief talked about the calls he makes. No, I'm not even worried about the center position.
I'm the only one of my friends that actually thinks that he's still going to be center. But you know, and I'm kind of glad that they did. You know, they are looking for their future, so I'm kind of glad that they did, go out and get
Listen, LSU fans, local people don't want to hear this, but Will Clapp has his hands full with just competing with Tom Cameron, who did get hurt today, Seth. Now, we don't know the extent of his injury.
Upper body, that's all we know on Cam. Tom Cameron.
Tom Cameron.
You're confusing me now.
Yeah, it's like a first name, last name. Cameron, Tom. Now, can Will Clapp take advantage of the situation with Cameron, Tom being out? Because that's what you got to do. You get an opportunity, but listen. Cameron, Tom, and Will Clapp could be competing against one another like Josh Larivas. Man, they're not even on the same planet as Max Unger.
No doubt. Jason, you wanted to touch on Marcus Williams,
yeah,
we were told
I'm kind of glad that they brought back Patrick Robertson. I'm kind of scared about, you know, is Williams going to be able to bounce back from what happened last year? A couple other things, you know. I don't want to get into shootouts kind of like week 11 last year when the Redskins played the Saints, you know, when we went back and forth.
But, right.
You know, our defense has developed, but, you know, we always have to deal with that Falcons receiving core. You know, they went out and got a bunch of additions. So do you honestly think, other than the Falcons receiving core, do you honestly think that we're in any chance of being threatened by them?
Yes, of course. I mean, from a national perspective, everyone, not being a homer in Atlanta or New Orleans, that, yes, the Falcons, listen, they're a double-digit win team. The Saints are a double-digit win, whether you say 11 or 12 wins. Now, the one thing I think you make a great point, we talk about the Redskins game, or just in general. If you're in a shootout, that's not a good thing. It's very entertaining as long as you come out on top, but then you're a 50-50 team. You win one, you lose one. That's not good. You want a scoring defense that, you know what, we giving up probably, I don't know, I'm going to say even 20, 17, 20 points a game.
That's where I think it will be, somewhere right between there.
If we do that, man, I like our chances a lot. Now, when it's 32-27 or something like that.
No, that's the 2015 Saints. That's the 2016 Saints,
Bobby. So that's when it can go either way. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You might win, but you might not win.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Jason. Good stuff. I will say this. You mentioned Atlanta there. Well, there was news today. Our friend D. Orlando Ledbetter, writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, reports that the Falcons expect 60,000 fans out at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium for a practice next week. So I'm saying...
Wait, what? That is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. 60,000, that according, again, that's a reliable source there, D. Orlando Ledbetter. I will say this. Saints practice 60. Next Sunday out at Yulman Stadium.
We got to pack it.
Yes, we're not the size of Atlanta, numbers-wise, population-wise.
Right.
There's no reason that Saints fans can't pack Yulman Stadium next Sunday.
Without a doubt.
Next Sunday evening for practice, right?
If Atlanta has 60,000 for their practice, we should have 25,000 to 30,000.
Absolutely.
That's fair. Come on.
I'm going to be pounding that drum on my show, Bobby, this week. Get on that every day.
Yes, it needs to be.
All right. We'll take a break. Coming back to Mario Davis. We'll have that interview for you. I'm Seth Dunlap. Bobby Hebert alongside. It's a special edition of Sports Talk on WWL. So I'm trying to get confirmation from D. Orlando Ledbetter. Some people calling, calling the Falcons bluff, or what they think is the Falcons bluff about. And it was today that they said there were 60,000 out at a Falcons practice today. I had a tweet from D. Orlando Ledbetter. I'm sending him a text, and I will find out if that's actually what happened. And Bobby and I were wondering, you know, what's going on? Any kind of free promotion or anything?
Yeah.
No, actually, it wasn't even free. It was $5 a ticket. What? Come on. That actually is pretty impressive, I will say.
No, what? This is not the Chicago Bears, the old school, with the 46 defense and the Super Bowl shuffle or the Patriots. I can remember the Saints going up to New England. It is the middle of the week, and Seth, it is raining. And I'm not talking about drizzling. It is raining, and there was between 12,000 and 15,000 fans come and watch the Patriots and the Saints practice. And what I was amazed, to show you how much they love Tom Brady, he would go from one field to the other. It's like the break. They're not even doing any drills. And Tom Brady's going from one field to the other. And they cheering like you just threw a touchdown or something. They're going crazy. I go, whoa. Like, they literally went from one field to the other. It was like Tom Brady walking on water, like Jesus. You know, like he's just going one field to the other and just like praising and going crazy. And
it's they follow Aaron Rodgers on the bicycle. Green
and
Bay.
I was elbowing dudes. I go, man, look at this. This is unbelievable. They're not even doing anything. Tom Brady's getting close to them, going from one field to the other. And then a pandemonium is just going crazy.
So I know we don't want to give the Falcons credit. So I'm going to try to disprove this. I've got a text out with Mr. Ledbetter. We'll see what he says. As we promised, though, Demario Davis, he had a chance to talk to Deuce and Christian earlier today out at camp. Here's that interview.
Demario, kind of into camp now 4 days. You're playing all over the linebacking core. What do you like about the versatility of this defense?
It allows the linebackers to roam around and make plays. And, sometimes you can be blitzing, sometimes you can be out in space and covering and be stacked in the middle of the box making plays. And so as a linebacker, that's what you want. You want to be able to roam around and prowl and make plays.
Do you have a preference, whether it's the Will, the Sam, the Mike?
No, man. We got a great coaching staff, and so wherever they need me, I'm going to be ready to plug that hole for them.
Now, Demario, when you first came into the league, what was maybe like, whoa, now this is different compared to that Arkansas State? Is it pass coverage? Because I know naturally I would think you can run support. But the biggest challenge?
You always have to be making, your weakness your strength. So when I came out, I played in a spread league in college. All it was spread. And so I could cover well, but I had to learn how to play in the box and be a run-stopping linebacker, And so Dave Harris and Bart Scott, they kind of taught me the game, taught me the ropes, of how to, be a gap plugger. And then the game started changing. They started spreading linebackers out more. And then I realized I needed to sharpen up my tools and coverage. And so that's where I spent a lot of my time, you know. So it's like always making a your weakness your strength. And so now it's more of a space league, so you got to be on top of your coverage.
Now, I asked you this earlier, with the rule changes as far as tackling, trying to take the helmet out of the game, do you get almost like more rugby-type tackling now with your shoulder? Or is it because, you know, instinct, you want to see what you hit, and you're flying around the ball. Talk about how challenging that's going
to
be.
I think they're just trying to take away the spearing, where the helmet is down and, you know, trying to make tackles with your head down. That's dangerous for anybody,
right.
You know. And so I was taught when I grow up, you know, see what you hit. You know, you tackle with your if you're going to put your head in it, you know, tackle with your face, not with the top of your head. You know, I think that's what they're trying to stop.
You're new to the defense this year. How confident are you in the scheme in terms of how well you know the scheme?
A lot of this is similar to what I've done before. Some changes and some new things I kind of have to learn and work with. But we got a good coaching staff, and they've done a great job of helping me get adjusted.
And, DeMario, speaking of the coaching staff, a legendary NFL family, Mike Nolan, linebacker coach, his dad, Dick Nolan, Saints fans familiar with what they've accomplished. But Coach Nolan, how would you compare him with the other linebacker coaches that you've had?
He just has a ton and ton of experience, you know. He's been coaching the NFL longer than I've been alive. So you got to appreciate that, man. He just has a lot of knowledge of the position and the game as a whole. And I'm just able to glean a lot of information from him. And in a short amount of time, he's helped my game tremendously.
Who's the biggest joker in the linebacker room? Who's the one that's got the most comic relief?
I don't know. It's probably out of Teo and Craig. But we got a good group, man. We have a lot of fun in there.
How you like in New Orleans? You were up there in New York. How you like in New Orleans?
I grew up in Mississippi, so I mean, I went far away, and so
he's used to the heat.
Yeah, it ain't too bad. I'm getting adjusted.
What are some of the goals you guys talk about this defense? What do you, you know, last year? I mean, they went from 27 to 17. You think you guys can be ranked higher than that?
We don't think about rankings, but we have lofty goals, and we know what it's going to take for us to win, be successful, and so. We can't give up touchdowns. We got to get out the field early. You know, we got to take the ball away. You know, we got to be good in the red zone. So, you know, if we can do those things and, you know, affect and disrupt the quarterbacks, we'll be all right.
And, DeMario, how many times coaches have preached to you? I guess every NFL team tries to do this, but from a defensive perspective, scoring defense and obviously, like you said, taking away the football. Has that been like, if you can do this, well, we got a great chance to win? Is that, like, as far as keeping them out of the end zone, like you said, force field goals, can we have a top-scoring defense? More than the yards give up, that has to be the most important.
Yeah, that's what you got to have, man. You got to take the ball away. You know, good teams at the end of the year, the teams that took the ball away during the year. And so for us to go where we want to go, we got to take the ball away as a defense.
Did you grow up watching defensive football in general? I mean, like linebackers, did you grow up watching those? Who are some of your favorites?
Oh, man, Dick Buckus, Mike Singletary, Lawrence Taylor, you know, Derek Brooks, Derek Thomas. I grew up watching all those guys, man, and just learning the appreciation of the game. Ray Lewis, just appreciation of the game. But I always thought of myself more as a hybrid, not just as a linebacker. So I love watching the linebackers, but I also like guys like Sean Taylor and Ed Reed, guys who come down in the box and drop the hammer, but also make plays out of space.
That's Saints linebacker DeMario Davis earlier today with Bobby and Christian Garrick. We'll take a break for news, coming back with more of our special edition of Sports Talk. We'll talk to Scott Alexander of Primetime Sports on WLAE and CST. And I unveiled my NFL power rankings a couple of days ago. I want to get Bobby's reaction to my top 10. And your calls and texts, Seth, Bobby, and Mark holding it down another hour on WWL.